and Noah means peace and safety. All right. After the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings comes, we will have peace and safety forever. That's beautiful. All right. And if you look at all of those, you know, we have the first Adam. Adam means of the earth, earthy. And then we have Seth. You know, actually Seth was the substitute for Abel that was killed by Cain. So we have Adam, and then we have Seth. We have the first Adam, and Seth means substitute. We have our first Adam, which gives us death. The second Adam gives us life. All right? And Enosh, what does the word Enosh mean? Dying. Jesus Christ gave us life by His dying. Okay? Go back and let's go back and look at these just for a few minutes. We have Adam. We have Seth. We have Enosh, which is dying. We have our first Adam. First Adam gives us death. The second Adam gives us life, Seth. He was our substitute. All right? Enosh, Jesus Christ, died for our sins. Canaan, it means a purchase or a redemption or to buy back a possession. What did Jesus Christ do? He bought us out. He redeemed us. He is our payment for our sins. Okay? And the third is Mahalalel. What is the Mahalalel? When Jesus Christ came and died, He rose in what? In glory. The praise of God and in glory. Alright? Mahalalel. And then Jared. What does Jared mean?
Poured out.
Poured out or descended. Alright? Jesus Christ poured out His divine person and took on flesh to redeem us. He descended from heaven to earth. Alright? And lived in a body to redeem us back. It tells the story. See how this tells the story? And then Enoch. What does the word Enoch mean?
Teacher.
Was Jesus our teacher? He was our master teacher because He was the one. He commented on the Word of God because He was the one that wrote the Word of God. He was the one that gave us the Word of God. All right, Enoch. And then Methuselah, of course, we said when he is dead, it shall come to pass. Lamech, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Noah, 10, number 10, peace and safety. And that's a complete order. 10 is a complete order. And those things, those first 10 names taught the coming and the return of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? All right.
How long did it take Noah to build the ark?
120 years. 120 years. And it was 450 feet long, 75 feet by 45 feet. 45 feet wide, 75 feet high, and 450 feet long. Not what I said that wrong. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Get it down there right. It's 3 million cubic foot ark. That's a lot. 3 million cubic feet in that ark. All right. It was three decks. Also, what a material. And remember also that when the animals were on the ark, they weren't fighting and going on. The animals didn't fight anyway at that time. They weren't eating each other or anything. They were vegetarians. At that time, when they came out of the ark, then God changed their digestive system. Lions went out with sharp teeth instead of dull teeth, okay? And things changed upon the earth that had never been that way before. And man had never eaten flesh before. He was a vegetarian. And after that, he became a meat eater. God gave him all the animals of the earth to eat.
It was a 7-day adventure.
Yeah, 7-day adventures. We're going to study about, oh, by the way, tonight, I said this a little before, but tonight and next Sunday night, we're completing the history class. Tonight, we're going to bring the Baptists from Europe into America, all the isms and cults in all the isms of Baptists, and how they came, and how Southern Baptists came, Missionary Baptists, Primitive Baptists, all those, how they came, and we're going to study about that tonight and get into the cults a little bit, also into TULIP, which is Calvinism. I'm going to cover as much ground tonight as I can. This tonight and next week we'll have a whole year's class in it. I'm going to really go to town. So please get here if you want to learn some of that. There's a lot. I also have it on tape. Okay, do you have any more Bible questions before we go back to the book of the Way Out?
I'm going to ask you, yes, brother. How many times did you say that the Bible said it holds up to 43,000 tons?
43,000 tons? Well, I thought it was 3 million cubic feet of space.
450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high.
How many tons did you say yours would hold?
It says 43,000.
43,000 tons?
Yeah. It's 4 feet and 3 zeros. That's what my book says.
Okay. 43,000 tons. Well, I put that down in mine, too, here. Some of your books have that down there. I wrote all of mine in. Mine doesn't have any notes in it at all, except what I put in there. 1 cubit, by the way, in the Old Testament equals about 17 to 18 inches. All right. 17 and a half to 18 inches. That's what a cubit is. And how do you measure that?
From your elbow?
Yeah, from your elbow to
papers.
A little finger. All right. And it's, you know, different people. Some of you got long arms, some of you got short arms. So
how do you do that?
Huh? But that's what the biblical cubit is about 17 and a half to 18 inches. Okay?
So how long was it?
It was
450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high.
It's not very big,
huh? Well, that's a football field and a half. That's a pretty big thing, especially, and I didn't finish this a while ago, when the animals went on the ark, they basically went into a hibernation stage. That's what many people believe. Animals hibernate, you know, bears hibernate, a lot of ground animals in the wintertime hibernate. It was just like going into winter for them. It's their system, and so they didn't require a lot of food or anything. It's just a space to put them in, basically. And I don't even think there was a whole lot of water on there, you know. Maybe there was some cisterns on there that Noah had devised to catch the rain, because there was plenty of that coming down.
The whole world flooded out.
Yes, the whole world flooded.
A lot of people think it is just flooded in that area.
Now, you know where the Black Sea is over there, off in the Mediterranean toward the Balkans, you know, up through there. They realized now they went into that area, and they said, well, there was at least a local flood here.
Right.
All right, there was at least a local flood, because we find out everything was destroyed in here. Well, it was a local flood in there. But you go to Australia, you go to Canada, you go to Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, and you find out that dinosaurs died in herds and droves there. And how do they say they died? There was a local flood. And they have a local catastrophic flood has killed all these dinosaurs. Australia, Canada, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado.
The flood happened before the divide division.
Yes, the flood happened before the
That's
division
why.
Of the earth. Okay. Yeah. And this flood, of course, the earth, here's the earth now. The earth at one time was earth and water, all right? And we figure there's about 3/4 of the earth, or 2/3 or 3/4 of the earth is water, okay? And by the way, did you know that water can be made to burn? Huh? Water can be made to burn. It absolutely, you mix the right chemicals with it. And in the end, it says that God is going to burn up the present earth. He's got a big fuel tank out there in the ocean.
Yeah, somebody's made gas out of water, but
yeah. They don't want to do that. Oil companies, you know, the oil companies are ruining this world. Dang it. Ruination of it. Look what's happened to our economy because of the gas prices being raised. Oh, that political scam that took place when the gas prices went up. Look how it's trickled down. What's your gas bill and your light bill doing now? You know why that happened? Because of what happened. Back in the 70s, you want to see the same thing happen before. We're repeating history. And you don't have to. The government should have stepped in and done something when the oil companies raised those prices. There was no reason for it. Let's go back to this now. Anyway, we have water and we have earth. And probably, at that period of time, it was probably close to half and half. Okay? The earth was in and out of water. Okay? And when it divided, of course, areas that were one time ocean are now dry land. You go out here, how many have ever been to Shark's Tooth Mountain? All right, out here in Shark's Teeth and stuff all over that. Why? Well, some of the area that was underwater is now above water because the earth, the scientists call it the continental drift theory. But the earth was divided and there's continents on the earth, and if you'll take a globe and look at it, you can push the continents back together and you can see this where it was all one time. And it was called one earth. There's a term for it. I can look it up for you here in a minute, but I can't ever remember all of it.
Was it
Peleg? No, Peleg. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. But there is a term for the earth. It was called Gondwana. 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 For some reason, that word, this is what you call when earth was all in one place. It was called Gondwana. Then the earth was divided and the oceans became. In the end of time, what part did the oceans take today? What do they do?
They purify the earth.
They purify the earth for all the currents and wind and everything else. The oceans purify the earth. You know what? In the eternal ages to come, there will be no ocean. Don't need it. Well, we don't need it. We won't have the putrefaction and the sin and the pollution that we do today. Okay? Anyway, the earth was divided. All these animals and everything, which way God confused the languages and everything else. But that was after the flood. But now we have the flood. We have all these animals all over here and everything else all over the earth. And by the way, even the dinosaurs in different places, they think that they all died at once by some gigantic, catastrophic behavior of something happened to the earth. A big comet hit the earth or something happened during that period of time. They killed all.
A massive earthquake.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was a massive earthquake when Satan destroyed this earth. Now, some people think that some of the dinosaurs were still alive at the beginning of the flood. I really don't think so. Before the flood, I really don't think they were. And some people have found where they found human tracks and dinosaur tracks right together. Okay? Well, I believe dinosaurs were in this earth before Adam. But I believe there were monkeys on the earth at that time and ape-like creatures, okay, that were time there. Even, think about this one for a while. This is only folks.
This is what? They call them early man.
Early man.
Yeah.
Okay. God created man in His image.
Flintstones.
Yeah. God created man in His image. He created man to replace Lucifer because Lucifer lost his estate. But could there have been a man-like creature before? Why not? He could have been like a caveman or something, a non-man, like you see man today. Just a dual nature, just spirit and life. No soul like we have, okay? It could have been. Now, I'm just throwing that out to you. That's a guess, a maybe, and a lot of my teachers have talked about that in the past. I'm not saying this is Bible, okay? But I'm just saying it's possible something like that could have happened. But we have these deposits of dinosaurs all over in the world that took place at the same time, and they all said it was a local flood, a local catastrophe. But the Bible talks about the earth being devastated in Ezekiel the 28th chapter and Isaiah the 14th chapter by Lucifer. That's a fact, okay? It also talks about a worldwide flood in the days of Noah. Now we know now scientifically, scientists have said in different parts of the world that there had to be a local flood that killed civilization there. Remember, during the flood, all the earth was in the same place. They go out in the ocean bottoms and find cities in the ocean. Civilizations in the ocean. Down under there. How do you get there? You know, they talk about the island or the continent of Atlantis. You know, we hear about all this stuff. Well, is it possible that some of it went underground? Of course. Something happened here when God divided the earth. A lot of those civilizations went underneath. Well, they were destroyed. Many of them were destroyed when God divided the earth. How would you like to be on the earth? How many of you have been through the earthquakes? How many of you how many of you go back to 1952 and the earthquake we had in Bakersfield? Oh, I feel old. I was up running around. You know? Anyway, I remember that earthquake. I threw all the water thrown out. We were so poor, we lived in a shack. I mean a shack. Well, I'll tell you what. Some of them brick homes and everything, those big high dollar ones fell down. But our shack stood. It might have got flooded with all the water that was thrown out of the canal and walked around and moved just a little bit. But it still stood. We didn't have anything to shake off the counters or anything because we didn't have anything to put on there. They didn't have any shelves or anything like that to happen. They had to worry about it. They didn't even have a... I think we might have had an icebox in because people were starting to get refrigerators, so they started throwing them away, and so we drove them on in from somewhere out of the dump or something. You didn't have to worry about things breaking or anything. When you don't have anything, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Man, for many years, lived in tents and in very mobile housing because the earth was moving. There was so much geothermal and so much seismic activity that the earth was moving all the time when it came apart. People were killed when God divided the languages or confused the languages. People went to where they could understand each other. Okay? They went, and then when the earth split, there they were in those different places. How the American Indian get here? God put him here in the days of Pelag. We're going to study that in the next 2 weeks on church history also. I'm going to try to throw everything I can throw at you in those two classes. Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to have to get up like an auctioneer and go. But God put the continents where they are, everything, and the animals that you see on there. But if you go to every continent, you're going to see the evidence of a flood in that area. Every one of them had a gigantic cataclysmic flood. And the scientists won't say it happened at one time. But guess what? Every time they figure out by date, it's at the same time. But it's in different places in the world. So what? If you were really a scientist and if you took information in, you know, a scientist is supposed to be a person of absolute logic, aren't they? You're going to find out that most of these scientists that are evolutionists believe more in evolution than you do believe in God. Because it's real easy to believe in God because God puts that in you. But to be an evolutionist, you've got to be a real, you've got to be out on a limb because all the scientific facts in this world do not go against what you believe. And you have to believe through pure evidence. That. Go ahead, brother.
I said it takes more of their faith.
More faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. Because that is a religion in reality. Because, do you know, scientifically and mathematically, you could not mathematically prove evolution was correct at all. It'll all go toward creation. Things didn't evolve the way they are. It just didn't happen. It's impossible for it to happen. But they'll say it did because that's what they want to believe. You know, people do away with God, then they don't have a God to answer to, do they? That's the problem. They don't want to have to answer to God. So what we have here, we have an earth that was flooded universally. Okay? That was before the division of the earth. How do you go out here and find ocean floors out here on mountaintops and things? About what happened? And during the flood, all the earth was water anyway. It was water all over. How do you get these inland seas, the dry salt seas in different parts of the world? Because that's where a great, Salt Lake, the great Salt Lake Flats. You go to the Salton Sea, you go to the Dead Sea. These are low depressions in the earth. We have, the earth is round like this, okay? But in places it's deeper than other places, okay? When God divided continents, you have these places here like this. But during the end of these continents, there's low places sometimes. And in those low places, you'll find great salt deposits. How did the salt get there? The Bible tells you that the earth was divided, and it also tells you that there was a universal flood. So how did the salt get there? It's as plain as the nose on your face. It was a salt deposit because of the salt water from the ocean that was left there. Yeah, Brother Levine.
Yes, but how did the sea turn to salt? You know, how does seawater become salt to the fresh water since it rained?
Well, the ocean that was over here, that half of the world was ocean. God provided salt in the ocean for the sea creatures that are out there that live in the salt water. And he knew that man would become so evil and pollute his environment so bad that it needed that ocean to purify the environment and everything else. That's why the salt was there.
Another question I was going to ask you, on the book of Revelation, it talks about the new heavens and the new earth.
Yes.
Okay, there's going to be no more sea?
Yes.
Is that?
No more ocean.
Okay, no more ocean. Would that ocean be fresh water or
yes.
No water at all?
It'll be a fresh water.
All the oceans that we have now will probably be fresh water to drink.
Yes. Swim and drink in the same water. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, I could go swim in the canal and drink in it. But you don't do that today. You're going to get sick. Further down in time, I was over half a century ago. Without the second place, you can't do that today.
Would that be part of the new heavens and the earth that
yes.
God's going to create?
Yeah.
It's going to become fresh water instead of ocean water.
Yes. Salt is one of these things that will make water burn. Okay? When I said a while ago that God had stored the ocean up as a big fuel system to burn and purify the earth, salt and water are two of the elements that you can make water burn with. I can't remember all of it. I could give you the formula and everything that'll do it. But that they and one of you said that they figured out they could make water burn and use that for fuel and everything. Well, they can. But Standard Oil is not in control. They control the laboratories, I'm going to tell you.
See, the Germans who were in the war figured it out that it's too late.
Mm-hmm. That has been going for a long time. We just give you a little look-see into this situation. The oil companies want to manipulate the economy. And their idea is that we don't need solar energy yet or wind power because we still have plenty of fossil fuel, which is oil. And they're not going to develop any other source of power until that is totally, completely economically depleted. Economically depleted. And they have to have... Remember when we had Jimmy Carter as president? They said there was an oil shortage in his time. He believed that there wasn't, but he believed it. And he started devising all kinds of systems, these solar power units. Remember all the windmills that used to be up on Tashby? What happened to them?
Still there.
Some of them are. But about over half of them are gone. If you look, they're not there anymore. They're junked. Everybody's got a windmill out in their backyard or something out in Taft or whatever, different parts all over the place. They junked them because the oil companies didn't want it. PG&E, gripe, they didn't want to have to buy the electricity. Now what's happening? People aren't that stupid. This is manipulating the economy and what they call demand and supply. Now here we are, supposedly in another crisis. We don't need to have crises. We have development, but they don't want that there. They would rather have a crisis and the cry of supply and demand. I tell you what, you can completely change the wealth of a people move the wealth from one place to another real easy. Out of the American people, just the American people's homes. They have more money than what they need all of a sudden. Now here they're making a little money and saving a little bit of it. But when they have to pay more money for gasoline and then more money for heating their homes and cooling their homes and everything, all of a sudden that, where does that wealth go to? It's moved, isn't it? Just as simple as that. Well, just think about that for a while. That's what's happening. It's been happening. Have any more questions about that? Do you understand that a little bit about the universal flood and the dinosaurs and all of that and the Salton Sea and the Dead Sea and different parts in the world? Well, let's go back to the book of Exodus. And Tony, where were we there?
24.
Number 24. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. Even their homes and a lot of this stuff was what? Contaminated. Contaminated areas. They had to break it down. They had to purify. And there were laws of purification that we're going to see. And I'm going to skip over some of it because we're going to get into some other areas.
Chapter 24.
What?
Chapter
24.
Did
we go over this already?
Yeah. We started chapter 24 now.
Oh, we started 24? I thought we were at the end of that one. Okay, 24. He's going to send out hornets ahead of them. And he's not going to drive them out in a single year because if God drove out all the people in Canaan land in a single year, what would happen to the land? There wouldn't be enough Jews to populate it. And the animals and the vermin and everything would take over. So he said, I'll drive them out slowly ahead of you. And I will put my fear in them. They will fear you and they will tremble and know that I'm coming. I mean, what you call his fame will precede him. Your fame will precede you. And they will be afraid of you. And verse 33 says, they shall not live in your land. Don't make any covenants with them. Because you will serve their gods. And I told you last week about, what was that famous woman? Jezebel?
Jezebel, yeah.
Jezebel. All right. She perverted Israel. She said, you can go ahead and worship your God, but come and worship mine too. And it was perverted sex acts out there in public, and that's what it was, up on the high places. And they liked that, you know. That's appealing to the flesh. So they were trying to worship Jehovah and do these things too, and God is not going to allow that to happen. He said, no, don't do it. Chapter 24. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. And Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered in one voice, a very brave word. Amen. That's what they said. Amen. 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 That's a word that comes all the way from Hebrew and Chaldee down into Greek, then into English, and was never translated. Okay? Never translated. It means we will do it. I'll stand behind it. I'll support it. I will do what you say. And that's exactly what was said here. All the words which the Lord has spoken, amen. We shall do it. We shall support it. We'll stand behind it. We will do it. Tony? If I was to read all these verses to you here that we have so far and all these things, plus what Moses had told them here, which we don't even have a record of it until later. He told them some things here, all the ordinances. Now he's going to go up and get it written down. Okay? And he's going to be up there for 40 days while God's writing it down and telling Moses all about it. But all of these things that Moses had recounted to Israel, and you heard all these things, could you stand up there and say, I'll do it? I'll try my best. I'll do my best. I'm not going to say I'll do it. What's me? With your help, I'll try to do it. There's some strong commands in here. And God even makes it worse in the New Testament. Do you know that? The Old Testament was rough. But the New Testament's even rougher. Did you know that? What's a Pharisee? The word Pharisee comes from the word Pharise, which means the word Peleg, divided. That's where the same word comes from, separate, divided. The Pharisees were totally separate from all the other human beings because they were the best dudes on the land. they were the righteous people. They had more laws that they had devised than even God had devised. Did you know that? They had devised hundreds of more laws to be good than what God had given them in the law of Moses. They had added to the law of Moses quite a little bit. No place in the law of Moses does it say that don't walk across the grass on Saturday, does it? On the Sabbath. Well, if you were a Pharisee, you couldn't walk across the grass on Saturday. You know why? Because you might knock a piece of seed off on the ground and sow it, and you would be sowing. Okay? How many of you ever had a chicken? A little gallina, you know?
Yeah.
Hold you? They lay eggs. You couldn't eat an egg that was your chicken laid on the Sabbath. Many of these other things. If you were a doctor, a physician, if somebody got sick on the Sabbath, you couldn't help him unless it was a life-threatening situation. You could only patch him up just a little bit. You'd have to make him wait till the next day because you would be performing an act of work on the Sabbath. God didn't say that. The Pharisees said it. And God came to the Pharisees and said, look how righteous I am. And said, you are dirt. You are dummies, you are dirt. He said, you know what the law says? Yes, and we keep it all. You know, like this. You know, I don't want to. We can look and read between the lines and know what they're saying. Same people that came to John the Baptist, John the Dipper, you know, and what he'd call them, snakes in the grass. Yeah. Snake in the grass. You snake in the grass. You sons of the devil.
Because they couldn't even shoo a fly away from their face.
No.
Instead of working.
No, that was working. Now, God didn't say that. That was their laws. And Jesus looked at them. You know, we're all humans, aren't we? You women ever look at a guy and say, boy, he's a handsome guy. Don't talk. Raise your hand now. And you guys ever look at a girl and say, that is a good looking girl. And your heart beats a little faster, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's wrong. We know that's wrong. But your body does that, doesn't it? That's your sinful flesh. You have to control that flesh. But it happens, doesn't it? It happens. We don't want it to happen, but it happens. Do you know what Jesus told those Pharisees? I'll tell you what. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and all this kind of stuff. Not his ox, not his anything that he has. I'll tell you this. If you ever say, I wish I had that, you are guilty of stealing. If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, which is a natural thing that happens to you, you can't help it. You have committed adultery with her in your heart already. He just washed away all the little laws and things, didn't he? All the little laws. You know what the rabbi said? The Pharisee said, you can't speak to a woman in public. You can't speak to her in public. You can't look at her for a long time. You can't stare at her in public. And you cannot speak to any strange woman that you don't know in public and even greet her. Nor even to your wife. And Jesus broke that law there at the Samaritan well, didn't he? When he talked to the woman, a Samaritan. They wanted to kill him right then because he broke their law. He didn't break God's law. Jesus wasn't lusting in his heart for her. He was telling her about salvation. But Jesus said to them, I tell you that you have committed sin and adultery in your heart already. You're a sinner. You failed. You're going to hell. There's nothing that you can do about it. And then he said, how many of you were angry with your brother without a cause? How many of you ever got mad at your brother or your sister? The word adelphe and adelphos, it means brother or sister. It means from the same womb. That means your brother or sister in your family. How many of you ever have heard of a family that raised children that did not fight? Jesus is going back home with these fellas. Remember when you were growing up? Remember when you were growing up with your brothers and your sisters and you were angry with them without a cause? You ever have a little sister that was constantly trying to get you in trouble, Marilyn?
Yes.
Did you ever thump her on the head when you got a chance? I remember one time my boys were growing up and they would fight. They would fight in my presence sometime and I'd have to correct them. And when they got out away from me, they'd fight a whole lot. And I sent them out one time. They had got a pony and they had a pony apiece and a cart apiece and they had these little ponies and they were having fun with them and everything. But they had to clean horse corrals so they could buy their hay. They were out cleaning horse corrals. My mother came up. And my little son, Gary, was on top of my big son, Jimmy, beating the tar out of him. Had him down on the ground. Boy, just a slugging him away out there. Boy, she grabbed him by the hair of the head and just drug him off and beat on him and everything else. You're killing him. And then Jimmy says, I saw her coming, so I got down on the ground and let him beat me up so he'd get in trouble. Jesus said, I say that you committed murder in your hearts when you do that. You're murderers. You're guilty of being... Both times they should have been stoned to death without any redemption. That was the penalty for adultery. And that was the penalty for murder, wasn't it? It was the death sentence. He said, you have the death sentence. You're the living dead. He said, this is the land of the living dead. Not the religious hierarchy, but the living dead. He said, you are dead men. And then he told them about graves, didn't he? He said, you whitewash the graves of the prophets that you killed and murdered. And whitewash them and make them look real good. But really a grave is what? Is a putrefying, decaying, unhealthy place. Isn't it? And they would polish it all, their headstones all up and everything else. And it's a place of the dead. He said, you are dead people. And he said, you're the blind leading the blind. Remember that? Can the blind lead the blind and not fall in the ditch? Do those verses all come into being now of why he said those things? Amen. We'll do it. They never did do it. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and they, with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. These 12 pillars represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as people. What did all the blood typify? The one time that Jesus would shed His blood once and for all. The word is hapax in Greek. Once for all time, He would shed His blood for us. One time. All of those bulls and goats that died, millions of them died in times of old to tell us a lesson that Jesus would come once and forever and spill His blood for us. And you know what that blood was what? Sinless blood. Blood that would never putrefy, blood that would never rot. I believe that Jesus Christ took every drop of that blood with Him to that golden altar in heaven and poured it out for your sins, for everyone's sins. Another thing we're going to talk about is limited atonement and unlimited atonement. Tonight and next Sunday. Yes.
He took all the blood with him to the head.
Yeah.
Because in the New Testament talks about Thomas. You know, I mean, he didn't have no blood when he was resurrected, right? So all the blood that was out of his body was...
Well, no, the blood he spilled, he took to heaven with him and put it on sacrifice. There was blood in his body still.
Was it blessed all, in his body?
His blood would not putrefy. The blood in his body would not putrefy. All he had to do was to start his heart pumping again, and he was alive. His body did not rot in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. It did not rot.
What I'm trying to say is,
there was no sin, there was no bad bacteria on him or in him. He took the blood that he shed for us and took it to the throne of grace in heaven and poured it out for our sins, just like all of these altars typified on the earth that was before him. When you stand up out in the daytime when the sun is shining, you throw a shadow, don't you? That shadow looks a little bit like you, doesn't it? If you turn sideways, you look down here like this, you know, you'll have your nose out there. It's me, and this is big old Indian nose sticking out there. Hell, where I'm going, points. Anyway, like a hound dog. But you'll see that profile on the ground. That profile is not me. It's a shadow of me. All of these animals that died, Jesus, for instance, when he had his group for 3 years, Jesus taught and preached in him. Every year he held the Passover with all of his disciples. Now, if you took a lamb for sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur is the Hebrew word, Yom Day Kippur. It comes from kafar, covering the Day of Atonement. That's what we're talking about here, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement where all Israel repented of their sins, took a little animal. They took this little sheep into their house, a little lamb, and all of the family would confess their sins upon him, but they would watch him and make sure that there wasn't a spot or blemish on him, feed him, take good care of him, and then lay their hands upon him and confess all of their sins they did on this animal. They would carry that animal into the area of the temple, and the man would come up there, the father of the family, or the leader of the group, confess the sins of the family on that little animal's head. They would pull his little head up like this and then cut his throat, and his blood would flow out. Every time, that animal didn't do anything, did he? Not one thing. He was innocent, but he died, and his blood was shed for those guilty people. Everybody in the house was guilty. Well, in your house, will they be guilty? Yours? Mine? Yes. We're all guilty. A sinful act. Every time. And Jesus would carry that little lamb up there. He would confess the sins of his people on this little lamb's head, typifying what he would do every time he did it. Can you imagine what he felt? Because pretty soon that was going to be him on the cross of Calvary. He didn't do anything either. Jesus never did anything wrong. But we do exactly like they did back then. When we come to Jesus, when God convicts your heart of sin, you are convicted in your heart. You feel bad. Before you had a child, when you had a birth and brought a child into this world, you were suffering, weren't you? When we're about to be born again, we're suffering. There's a time of suffering. And we, and that little child too, probably suffers when a woman brings that child into this world. A birth is a suffering thing.
That's why they come out crying.
Yeah.
It's all your fault, brother. That's all our fault, isn't it? Adam's sin is given to him. We did it. We passed it on. The woman didn't do it. We did it. They come out crying. They're sinners. But that is a time of suffering. When you're getting ready to be born again, you're suffering. You are repenting of your sins. You're remembering what you did wrong in your life. And you come to God and say, please, God, forgive me. I know that I don't have a sacrifice. But Jesus Christ died for my sins.
Hey, you feel rotten, man.
You're rotten. You are rotten.
That question really just brought something I want to think about. Being that God was the one that initiated the seed of Mary and his blood came from the Father, not the mankind.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get sick during his childhood as far as the cold, sickness like that, because he didn't have
He did not have the blood of Adam. He was not contaminated. His body was not contaminated with the bacteria. It had no effect on him at all. Period. But he felt cold and he felt hunger.
He touched sick people.
Yeah. He'd have been real sick if bacteria passed on. Now, I mean, the law of Moses says, don't touch these people, don't let them touch you. He touched lepers. You know, I mean, this stuff was infantigo. You remember what that stuff is? That's that stuff you get all over your face and everything when you're a little kid. And it's the disease. All of the things that they had back then, a lot of those things they called leprosy. Okay? And these people were supposed to be separated. And when a leper came to you, he was supposed to holler, unclean, unclean, don't come any further, I'm unclean. Okay? Jesus went up and touched them. He healed them. He cleansed them. They didn't affect him. He was impenetrable by human sickness and because he had no sin in him. These things would have not had any effect upon Adam at all had he not sinned. They wouldn't have had any effect at all. And it didn't have any effect upon Jesus because he has no sin in him. He had no sin. In his blood, there was no sin, no corruption at all. Period. And when he died, he laid his life down. He deposited his spirit in the Father's hands. He went back. He didn't go unconscious. He went where? To preach in paradise about the redemption that he had finally procured. They heard about the promise of it. He said, no, I didn't.
Was he down there for 3 days?
Yeah. And then he rose. And he brought a lot of them with him, he says. I don't know if he brought all of them or part of them, I don't know. At that, the first fruits of the resurrection, but some of them were raised.
Maybe they didn't have a name for brothers,
but some didn't believe. Well, and all those in paradise believed.
Well, people before the flood, they went to paradise, didn't they?
Yes.
Nobody went to heaven because he had to be the first one, right?
Mm-hmm. We've got a few more moments. All right. Before the cross of Calvary, all right. There was Hades. All right. And Paradise. Paradise and Hades. The place asked about, the place not seen. Sheol. Sheol, Hades, Paradiso. The place asked about, the place unseen, and there was a paradise. It was a great area. This was called Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, or paradise. And over here was hell, a place of torments. And there was a great gulf fixed between here and there. Now here's the earth, here's heaven, and here's hell down here.
I don't know where that was exactly, or anything about it. It may have been down in here someplace. But when God rose from the dead, He took this with Him and took it to heaven and made that offering, that sacrifice, sacrificial offering up there. His blood He took with Him.
So in that paradise,
this was paradise and this was hell, and we saw the rich man looking over here, Dives looked over here into hell and saw Lazarus. This was a real place. This is a real story about what really happened. It's a historical fact of Dives and Lazarus in the 16th chapter of Luke. That really happened, and God tells us a little bit about it. Okay, He looked over. Then He took this paradise side. This was where people were deposited before Christ. And this was a promise. The promise was here. The promise of redemption. Those were there were promised redemption.
Jim, is it called a holding place or a cup of the family?
It could have been a holding place or what we're just going to call paradise, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. It's called paradise.
Well,
it's called Abraham's bosom. It's called paradise.
Is that in the center core of the earth?
I don't think so.
Then how come the above heaven is called the third heaven?
It could have been out here. This is the earth right here. Some people think hell is in the center of the earth. But the Bible says it's down under the earth. Down under. Here's heaven. This is a universe. All the stars and stuff. Here's the earth. And it's down under. Not in the earth, but down under. Out here somewhere. Down. Okay? And I think that's where this was. But there was one part of it that was paradise. Why couldn't all the people from Adam on die and just go to heaven before Jesus Christ?
Because
the price had not been paid. Even though Jesus Christ stood as a lamb from before the foundation of the earth, before God ever created anything, He'd have not died in space and time. I keep saying that because I want you to... Jesus Christ came to earth in space and time and died. What do I mean by space and time? John 14 says, "And the Jehovah, or the Word, became flesh." He wasn't flesh. He became flesh. That's third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. That's the grammatical term. Aorist is a punctiliar action. Remember that, Brother Art? Middle voice is what? He did it for himself. That's when a person does the acting for himself. Christ.
Now, when you say
flesh.
Third person, you're talking
third
about
person
the
singular,
Father, Son,
he.
Holy Spirit?
No. I, you, he, she, or an it. Okay, third person singular. He, the word he became flesh, the Jehovah, he became flesh. The word Jehovah means he who shall become. Well, he who shall become became. And when he became, and when he died on the cross of Calvary, he went down and took all of these that were still captive by the sin of their lives, but it wasn't accounted unto them. He took all of their sins and all of your sins and my sins and the whole world's sins on Himself at Calvary and took that blood and put it in heaven on that great altar that this one typified.
So everybody that died for the cross went to Hades. They could, at that time,
well, if they did not believe in God, yeah, and believe in the promise, they went to hell.
And they could look across and see Him there.
Yeah, and they could look over here.
That's got to be torture.
That was torture in itself. Yeah. What if the people in hell can look up and see you in heaven?
Lord have mercy.
All the time in glory for all eternity in the future. What do you think that kind of a torment is going to be? All the people that you told about Jesus look up and said, "I wish I had listened to him or to her." That's got to be a torment. Well, I'm not saying that's going to be, but it's got to be a torment if it is. Back here they could.
Especially
your family. But what if somebody you work with every day? Sometimes your co-workers are more familiar with you and with you more than your own family.
Yeah. 19, Jesus Christ will get out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they saw him.
Yeah,
say, I did it. I have overcome. He did. He said, I have overcome. God bless you for your time you spent in here today. Please pray for Brother Levine and for each other this week. I'll see you tonight, those of you who are coming to the class. And remember, we've got to cover a lot of ground. And I'm going to try to feed you a lot of stuff. I'll have it on tape. I know you can't contain it all, but I'm going to try to get it to you in the next 2 weeks. But there's a lot of information. Father, thank you for this class today, for your people that are here to listen and to learn your word. Forgive us for our failure and help us every day be more thankful for your Savior that you sent to us, that he died for us, gave his life for us, and that he rose again, and he's forever making intercession for us. And help us, Father, every one of these sins that we talked about today, that when they go through our minds, when we accuse someone wrongly, when we lie, when we try to take advantage of people, when we look at a man or woman in lust, please convict our hearts of sin and help us to want even more to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray.